Hello, everybody, and thank you for coming to the Nets EBSCOR webinar. So I'm Nicholas Goldsmith. I'm an assistant program director with the Networking Technologies and Systems Cluster. And today we're going to talk about the Nets program and in a sort of targeted way for people who are in EBSCOR jurisdictions. Moment. Screen to cooperate. Okay, so today we'll talk a little bit about the EBSCOR program, and then we'll discuss the SIES Directorate and the Networking Technologies and Systems program. We'll then spend some time on the Core Small program. Then we'll talk about some resources that are available to the community, some supplements that you might have access to either when preparing a proposal or if you have an existing award. Then we'll talk about some other notable solicitations before moving to Q&A. I'm joined by a couple of other program directors in the Nets cluster who will introduce before that Q&A segment at the end. Please use the Q&A function in Zoom. It will help us to keep organized and make sure we get to as many questions as possible. So I'll start by talking a little bit about the EBSCOR program. The EBSCOR program stands for the Established Program to Stimulate Competitive Research. And essentially, EBSCOR seeks to enhance the research competitiveness of targeted jurisdictions. And it does so by strengthening science, technology, engineering, and mathematics capability and capacity. Through a diverse number of programs. So you can see here is a map of the EBSCOR jurisdictions, which includes a variety of both states and territories. Now the EBSCOR program is particularly notable as it came up in the CHIPS and Science Act, which was recently passed. And in the CHIPS and Science Act, there were targets put forward for funding to institutions in EBSCOR jurisdictions. So for our current fiscal year 2024, that's 16%. It will increase over the years until it reaches 20% in 2029. The CHIPS and Science Act also identified some areas to prioritize in EBSCOR funding. So prioritizing infrastructure investments to help build capacity in EBSCOR jurisdiction institutions, scholarships, fellowships, and traineeships, partnerships between EBSCOR and non-EBSCOR institutions, things that can be done to increase the capacity, build the capacity at emerging research institutions and minority serving institutions, and to try to build sustainable innovation ecosystems in EBSCOR jurisdictions. So that's just a bit of a highlight of the EBSCOR program. And now we'll move on to talk about SIES and NETS. So SIES is the Directorate for Computer and Information Science and Engineering, and it focuses on advancing research, innovation, and education in computer science, information science, and computer engineering. There are four divisions and offices within SIES. So there's the Division of Computer and Network Systems, which is where the NETS program is. There's also the Division of Computing and Communication Foundations, the Division of Information and Intelligent Systems, and the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. To give you a sense of the SIES Directorate and the size of the SIES Directorate, here's some numbers from fiscal year 2022. SIES had a budget over $1 billion. We got over 6,400 proposals, of which over 1,700 were funded. So a little over a quarter of the received proposals were funded. 376 different institutions were supported, over 6,600 graduate students, over 20,000 researchers were supported, ranging from senior researchers down to undergraduates. The funding reached all 50 states, as well as two of the territories. And of those 376 institutions, 74 of them were minority-serving institutions. So SCIES has a broad reach across the country and is important for the computer science and information science and computing engineering research enterprise. So the Networking Technology and Systems Program is a program within the division, the Directorate of Computer and Information Science and Engineering. And the NETS program seeks to advance knowledge about how networks work, increase and optimize the performance, security, and functionality of existing networks, create new or improve existing protocols or algorithms, you know, things like routing and traffic engineering, naming and network management. NETS also seeks to rethink, design, and redesign various aspects of networking. So that could be machine learning applied to networking, various network components, say adding programmability to parts of the network, various network systems, including integrating storage, integrating compute into the network, wireless networking, as well as next generation, sort of next G wireless networks. The NETS program supports research in both wired and wireless networking and does so at a variety of scales. So local networks, data center networks, internet scale networks, IoT, sensor networks, and other networking systems. And it supports this research through a variety of different funding opportunities and funding opportunity sizes. So there's the Career Award, which is for early career faculty. There's CRII, which is research initiation. And there's small, medium, and large core projects, among other programs. The NETS portfolio has over 400 active awards. You can actually see all of these active awards at that URL. That's just a sort of custom query for the public award search. Those 432 active awards have received over $220 million to date. And of those active awards, 34 are to EBSCOR institutions. Now, just again, to give you an idea of the kind of research that NETS supports and the breadth of the research that NETS supports, you know, here are some of the kinds of topics that are in our research portfolio. So we have AI and machine learning for networking, programmable networks, in-network compute and storage, application-aware networking, various aspects of network management, including monitoring, measurement, traffic engineering, network performance, whether that be things like latency or quality of service, network protocols, verification, resilience, security, quantum networking, optical networks, next-G networks, distributed machine learning in the wireless context, MIMO, terahertz networking, various aspects of wireless network protocols and systems, mobile edge computing, network function visualization, wireless spectrum, monitoring, measurement, sharing, allocation, as well as network function visualization. So that's to give you a sense of the kinds of things that NETS funds. Next, I'll talk about the SCIES Core program, and in specific, the SCIES Core Small. You can find the solicitation at that URL for the SCIES Core program. The SCIES Core program is NSF 23561. That includes small projects. The small category is for projects with budgets up to $600,000 with a duration of up to 3 years. And notably, small projects do not have a deadline. So we can accept small proposals at any time and can fund them on a rolling basis. In terms of who's eligible to submit a size core program proposal, institutions should be US-based. They could be institutions of higher education or US-based nonprofit, non-academic organizations that have educational or research activities. So things like museums and observatories. To be eligible to be a PI, co-PI, or other senior personnel, you must either have a tenure track position or have a primary full-time paid appointment in a research or teaching position at an eligible institution. Also, PIs and co-PIs are limited to 2 core proposals per 12-month period. So what that means is if you submitted a proposal to the core today, you wouldn't be able to submit your 3rd proposal to the core program until February 15th, 14th, 2025. So 2 proposals in a 12-month period. Now the size core small proposal is particularly well suited for research projects that involve 1 or 2 investigators, say a PI and co-PI, and at least 1 student or postdoc. We can accept proposals that involve multiple size research disciplines. So if your idea involves both networking technologies and systems research, as well as something else under the computer science, information science, or computer engineering umbrella, we can set up a co-review of those proposals. Core small proposals also can be collaborative. So they can involve multiple institutions, which could involve institutions that are both EBSCoR and not EBSCoR. For collaborative proposals, both institutions submit a proposal. There's also a subaward mechanism. In a subaward situation, the subawardee gets their funding through the leading institution and does not have a separate NSF award. Now, in the case that an EBSCoR institution is a subaward, that doesn't count towards the CHIPS and Science Act EBSCoR target unless the leading institution is EBSCoR. But for collaborative proposals, if one of the institutions with a submitted proposal is EBSCoR, that counts towards the EBSCoR targets. So we would encourage collaborative proposals. So if you're interested in preparing a small proposal, there's a variety of things to make sure that you include. So you need a title, of course. That should include the program acronym as well as the project class. So if you were submitting to a NETS small, it would be NETS, then small, then the title. You need a project summary. This will include sort of an overview paragraph, an intellectual merit paragraph, a broader impact paragraph, and then keywords. So you should have 3 to 6 keywords or phrases that describe what your proposal is about. You'll need to have a project description that must clearly state the work to be undertaken. It should include a section that's labeled broader impacts. For NETS core proposals, we also need you to include an evaluation plan about how you're going to evaluate the outcomes. The project description has to be 15 pages or less, so you can't go beyond 15 pages for the project description. And if you've received NSF funding in the past, then you need a prior NSF results of prior NSF support section. Your proposal will also need to include a budget. The total budget, including cloud computing resources, which we'll talk a little about later, is restricted to the budget limits for the project class. So for a small proposal, that's $600,000. You'll also need to include a data management plan. So this data management plan is basically about how you will support reproducibility and replicability of your research. So the kinds of things that go in the data management plan are how you'll provide access to things like data sets, models, simulation tools, and code for a reasonable period of time beyond your project life cycle. In addition to those aspects, there's some supplementary documents which may be required or may depend on more specifics about your proposal. So you are required to include a list of project personnel and partner organizations as a supplementary document. If you're requesting cloud computing resources, which we'll discuss more later, there's a supplementary document you need to include for that. For smalls, if there's more than one investigator, you can include a collaboration plan. If you're submitting a medium or large and it includes more than one investigator, you must include a collaboration plan, sort of about how you'll collaborate. If you're submitting a medium or large, you need to also include a broadening participation and computing plan. There are some situations in which you may need to include letters of collaboration, say if you're going to use a resource at an outside institution. And then SF Proposal Guide has more information on exactly what should and should not be in those letters of collaboration. Certain kinds of supplements, if you're including them with your proposal, those need to have a supplementary document. The prime example of that is the Research Experience for Undergraduate supplement, which we'll discuss more later. There are also specific aspects to proposals that you can find in NSF's proposal guide that require their own special document. So there's the RUI, which is research in undergraduate institutions. There's also GOLI, which are grant opportunities for academic liaison with industry. If these are relevant for your proposal, then you'll need to include a supplementary document for them. And one thing to note is the submission has a checklist, or the solicitation has a submission checklist in it. You should look at that submission checklist to make sure you have all the required materials. Now we'll discuss a bit about what reviewers and NSF will be looking for in your proposal when they evaluate it. So there are two NSF-wide criteria that we use to assess all proposals that NSF receives. And those are intellectual merit and broader impacts. So intellectual merit is the potential for your proposal to advance knowledge in its field. So when reviewers are looking at this, or when NSF is looking at your proposal, they'll consider the potential to advance knowledge. They'll also consider broader impacts, which is the potential to benefit society or advance a desired societal outcome. Broader impacts is in a checklist. You're not required to have everything, but they will assess the broader impacts that are a part of your proposal and want to ensure that there are broader impacts in your proposal. The kinds of things that might fall into these broader impacts are integration of your research into education, K-12 outreach, efforts at broadening participation. If the content of the research itself addresses a major societal issue, that would be a broader impact. If your project has a lot of potential for technology transfer, that might also fit into broader impacts. And then if your project has the potential to have an impact beyond the research discipline, say, maybe it's useful for policy or setting standards, that would also fit into broader impacts. In addition to those intellectual merit and broader impacts criteria, reviewers will also look at the solicitation-specific review criteria, which in the case for the size core, that's how well does the proposal describe an evaluation plan that assesses, and where appropriate, quantifies the research outcome. So that evaluation plan is something that the reviewers of your proposal and NSF will look at. Now I'd like to discuss some additional resources that are available. One of these are cloud resources. So this is relevant if you're requesting cloud resources as part of your proposal. Proposals can request cloud computing resources through Amazon Web Service, Google Cloud Platform, IBM Cloud, and Microsoft Azure through the Cloud Bank program. The requested budget for these cloud computing resources and your budget for the project cannot exceed the budget limits. So that's $600,000 for small. If you're interested in this, you need to include cloud access as a keyword, and you need to include a supplementary document that details your cloud computing request. It's also worth noting that there are computing resources available to NSF awardees, as well as other US-based researchers. You know, there's a lot on this slide. We'll make sure to have the slides posted on the event webpage, as well as the recording that we're taking, but also feel free to screenshot this because I'm gonna go through it kind of quickly. If you are in need of cloud computing resources for your research, there's things like the ACCESS program, which is the Advanced Cyber Infrastructure Coordination Ecosystem. That has scientific computing offered to researchers in advanced computing research. There are a variety of different kinds of computing resources available through ACCESS, which does include GPUs. Chameleon's another resource you can access. So Chameleon's a large scale configurable experimental platform. It has bare metal access, so you can have full control of the software stack, including root privileges, kernel customization, and console access. There's more information on their website. Cloud Lab is a flexible scientific infrastructure for research in the future of cloud computing. It enables you to sort of build your own clouds with experimental architectures. So if that's relevant for you, you should check out their website. There's NRP, which is the National Resource Platform that has over 300 nodes nationally, distributed computing systems that include CPUs, GPUs, as well as other resources. And then there's OSG, which is the Open Science Grid, which is a nationally funded consortia of computing resources that offer various types of compute services that may be useful for you. So if any of these might be useful for your research, would encourage you to look more into them. In addition to those computing resources, there's also test beds that might be useful for your research. So one of those is Fabric, which provides adaptable, programmable research infrastructure for computer science and engineering applications. There are multiple Fabric sites that have compute and store and are interconnected through high-speed dedicated optical lines. There's also the Platforms for Advanced Wireless Research, or POWER, if you're doing wireless research. There's four of these platforms. There's POWDR, which is a programmable advanced wireless research testbed. There's COSMOS, which is a software-defined mobile wireless testbed with edge compute. There's AIRPOL, which is an aerial wireless testbed that includes UAVs. And there's AURA, which is a wireless living lab that focuses on wireless technologies and their applications in precision agriculture. So if any of these are relevant to your work, I would also encourage you to look into them. Okay, now I'd like to talk about supplements. Some supplements are open to people when they're submitting their grant application, and supplements are also open to existing awardees. One of the major supplement programs we want to highlight is REU, the Research Experience for Undergraduates program. You can submit this as part of your proposal, or if you already have an award, you can submit an REU to help you pay for undergraduates to join your research. These REU supplements are for up to $10,000 per student per year, and you can request up to 2 students per year. That URL contains all of the information about what you need to include in these supplemental requests. So make sure to check that out if adding undergraduates to your research might be useful. We'd also encourage you to get these in sort of earlier in the year than later. Try to help process them. There's also the RET or Research Experience for Teachers supplement program. Again, you can request this when you're requesting your initial proposal, or if you already have an award and this might be helpful, you can submit this. RET is for up to $15,000 per teacher per year and can support up to 2 teachers per year. How these typically work is that these teachers are integrated into your research program for 6 to 7 weeks during a summer. And during that time, they'll work to create modules and resources to use in their platform. So this is a great way to potentially add some of that K-12 outreach if you're interested in that and build the capacity for research that way. So same letter as the REU supplement if this is potentially interesting to you. In addition to those that are available to people for new awards and existing awards, there are a variety of things you can ask for supplements for if you already have an award. And you should talk to your program director if you're potentially interested in adding a supplement to your existing award. A few examples of things you could ask for supplements for include if adding graduate students would help you expand or enhance your existing project, you could ask for a supplement for that. Also, if adding postdocs or other cyber infrastructure professionals would help you to expand or enhance your existing project, you could ask for a supplement for that. An additional item, a supplement category that's worth pointing out for existing awards is the Career Life Balance Supplement. This one's written out in the proposal guide that PAPG is. And this is to provide funds to bring on additional personnel for situations like primary dependent care or other family considerations. So say someone's gonna go on parental leave, you could use these career life balance supplements to help bring on additional personnel to cover that time. And these career life balance supplements are available to existing research awards. They're also available to postdoctoral fellows and graduate research fellows. Now, while we wanted to focus on the size course small program, there are a few other solicitations we thought we would like to point out to all of you. So there are infrastructure solicitations that you might be interested in. One of those is CIRC, which is the Community Infrastructure for Research in Size. That funds the planning, creation, or enhancement of research infrastructure for use by communities of researchers in size disciplines. The upcoming deadline for CIRC will be in September, September 13th. And this funds a variety of different project classes. So there's planning proposals in which, say, you're trying to assess what the community needs or build community buy-in. There's exploratory development proposals in which you're testing potential designs for research infrastructure. And then there's medium and grand size research infrastructure awards. There's also the CC Star program, the Campus Cyber Infrastructure program that has a deadline in April as well as October. There are 5 areas in this ranging from compute, data and storage and networking infrastructure. But for the NETS community, we specifically want to point out the network integration and applied innovation category. And so this network integration and applied innovation category of CC Star has the goal of taking advantage of research results, prototypes, or emerging innovations, and using them to enable specific research in a networking context. So if that might be relevant to you, I suggest you look at the CC Star solicitation, and there is that upcoming deadline in April for that. There are a variety of other programs that, you may be interested in. There's CPS, which is Cyber Physical Systems, which focuses on research on engineered systems with integration of cyber and physical components. That could include compute, control, networking, learning, autonomy, security, privacy, and verification, or other application domains. And it includes both small and medium size awards. There's the SATSI program, Secure and Trustworthy Cyberspace, that supports research addressing cybersecurity and privacy, drawing on expertise in a variety of disciplines. So the SATSI proposals absolutely can be interdisciplinary. They have small and medium awards that include transition to practice and EDU awards, and they accept proposals at any time. So if that's of interest to you, you should look at the SATSI program. We also want to point out that you can write proposals to hold a conference or workshop. There's information in the proposal guide about what these require, but if you're interested in holding a conference or a workshop, talk to the program directors about that. NSF also provides travel grants, again, in the proposal guide. These are for situations like, say a conference is being held and you want to have a student travel grant program. NSF can supply the money for that student travel grant program. Again, if you're interested in potentially running a travel grant program, say you're a part of a conference organizing committee, reach out to the NSF program directors to find out more. Okay. Before I turn it over to Q&A, I'll talk about a few other ways you can learn more about the NETS program. So there is a NETS newsletter that's sent out around once a month, sometimes more or less, depending on how many solicitations and special events are going on. This NETS newsletter includes information about the NETS programming, the NETS program, NETS community relevant workshops, and relevant new solicitations. It also often includes information about the infrastructure programs like Power and Fabric and Cloud Resources. To subscribe to this newsletter, you send an email to listserv@listserv.nsf.gov with no subject line and subscribe, NETS announce, as well as your name. And that will automatically subscribe you to the newsletter. NSF also has regular email updates. At that URL, you can sign up for them. Of particular interest to this community is probably the NSF funding opportunities and updates category that does have a size option. So that will send you an email when size submits a new solicitation, releases a new solicitation. NETS holds other webinars like this one now. We hold them periodically, typically when a new program or solicitation or Dear Colleague letter is announced. So you can keep out an eye for those. Also, we find it's helpful for people to serve on panels. You know, see what kinds of things reviewers are looking at when they look at proposals, see the kinds of things people include in their proposals, and then of course, network with your peer researchers. So if you're interested in potentially serving on a NETS panel, we have two surveys that we often use to help us identify reviewers. There's a wired and a wireless one, and you're welcome to submit to both of those. If you just follow those URLs, you can fill out those surveys. And then we'd encourage you to talk to program directors. If you have an idea, you're not sure what program it might fit with, you know, you can reach out to us. If you have an existing award and you're interested in the sublimate, you could reach out to us. You can find our information at the NETS page, which is that URL at the end. Okay, so I'm going to introduce my fellow Nets team members who are here, and then we'll go to Q&A. So I'll start with Anne.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the webinar. So I'm Anne von Lehmann. I'm the program director and currently the cluster lead for Nets. And my expertise is mostly on the wired networking side.
Hussein?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this webinar. My name is Hussein Abuzeda. I'm a program director in the Nets cluster. My expertise are primarily on the wireless side. I'm also on leave from my academic position, which is in RPI in upstate New York. It's nice to meet you.
Darlene?
Hi, I'm Darlene Fisher, program manager at the Nets, as all of us are here. And I'm in the wired side, and I'm the one with all the institutional history. So if you want to know something about, you know, where we come from, you should email me or talk to me. And I'm so glad you're here. I think this is an exciting, very exciting opportunity, and we want to help in any way we can so that we get really quality proposals from people from EPSCoR states.
And Brian? Brian might be having technical difficulties. So if he manages to, Well, if he manages to come on, we'll have him introduce himself. So with that, I think we'll open it up to questions. We'll also stop the recording now for the Q&A period.